Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood giving you guys a free stock. Yes, this is like free money, like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com. That's realghost.robinhood.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. On today's episode, a child demon wearing pajamas terrifies a child in his room late at night. And an unexplained person crosses through barbed wire, proving that whatever it was not human. And Tony Bruschi sends Carol Hughes a horrifying text involving meat. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number to call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to share your ghost story with us. We'd love to hear it in your own words. If you want to write it in, you can do that as well through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email an audio file to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to those EPP, Extra Podcast Person, bonus episodes. Jam-packed, awesome stories every single week and told in a very unique way, different than our normal episodes. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month to access all of those, all 200-some episodes. Advanced episodes of the program, that's there for you. You get an e-copy of our book. It's like a $15 value. Amazon bestseller, that's yours for free when you be an EPP. You come on ahead immediately at $5 a month with the book and everything. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air if you like the program. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And I have to say, the other day, as it was teased in the intro of the show, which I just kind of threw in there. So the other day, I'm sitting here. And it's a cold day. It was a disappointing weekend in the Ozarks because we were supposed to get this big snowstorm and it was supposed
to. We were too. It didn't happen.
Oh, God. It was like, really? How off are we? Anyway, so we were planning on just kind of hunkering down. And what I was planning on doing was I was going to make some snack sticks, some beef snack sticks. We like those. I made them a couple of years ago, like a big batch of them, and I gave them to my family and whatnot. And it was just, you know, that was my plan of making sausage, essentially. And so I'm working on it. And it's like an all-day process. It really does take a long time to do. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of making sure everything's right and sanitary and seasoned correctly and all that. Anyway, I was proud of it. And I was getting it going, and I was intending. My dad had just texted me, and you had just texted me, like in the same span of 3 minutes, and I'm thinking I'm replying back to my dad, going, "Hey, you know, I don't even know what I even said. It was like, look at this, it's this giant like just pile of sausage,
massive, like." It looked like it was like 50 feet of sausage, it was, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was like 25 pounds of sausage. It was probably closer to like 100 feet of sausage at the end of the day. But it was just this massive monstrosity. But I was proud. Like, this is a lot of work. I just got this done. And then I realized, oh, my God, I just sent that to Carol, my friend, who's a vegetarian.
On my end, I'm with my friend, and I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, what? I got my friend Tony just sent me a picture of sausage.
And is he thinking like, oh my God, he's sending you a D pic?
I think it was funny because I didn't think of it like that.
Okay.
Right? So then he's like, what? And I said, oh, he meant to.
Like literally, he's making summer sausage.
I'm reading your text. I'm sorry, crying. I'm reading your text messages and I'm like, oh, he meant to send that to his dad.
That sounds even worse.
I was like, what? And then I realized what I'd said. It's like, oh, no, it's sausage. Like, really? Let's show up the picture. And then we get to laugh, and he's like, you could send me some of that. Like, so he was like, some of your sausage.
Oh, God.
There's so many. It was like, Oh, yeah, Tony just sent me a picture because I was a little offended because it's like, I'm vegetarian. I don't want to see your damn sausage. So that's in my brain.
Yeah.
In his brain, he heard Tony's sending a picture of his sausage. So anyway, that was pretty fun.
There we go. Because your friend is like you texted me back saying my friend would like to see pictures of your sausage.
My friend is really interested in your sausage.
And I really thought you meant like the sausage I was making. I didn't realize you were meaning it in a different way.
Well, then he's like, it does look good. I'm like, that's a mighty fine sausage, my friend Tony. Oh, that made me cry. That was really funny. So anyways. Fine sausage.
There you go. It's good we've known each other for like 15 years, and it's not like, oh my God, look at all I sent you this picture.
But I think on his part, because he doesn't know what I'm saying. I'm like, oh my God, Tony just sent me a picture of his sausage. And it is like the most massive amount of sausage I've ever seen.
The terms are used. It's the mess.
I'm like, what the hell? Why are you sending me this sausage pic? You need to post a picture of your sausage. Because a lot of people won't be offended like I was. But
no. And it's delicious sausage. Sweaty balls. Well, there you go. That's a new way.
That's so funny. But then it was like, oh, he's supposed to send it to his dad.
Yeah. Like, what? That's even worse. All right. Well, that's, I think, one of the most unique intros we've ever had on our show before.
Wonderful.
It is.
Sending out pictures of your sausage.
Gotta watch that shit because it's, you never know who's going to see a picture of that stuff, you know? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, not pictures of your sausage. We don't want that. Let's go to our first story of the day. Let's see here. We got, let's see here. On this day, I got a call on our paranormal hotline. This is from a ghost hunter. Man named Tony from an undisclosed town in Nebraska tells me a little boy demon is haunting his house. His son, who's 7 years old, calls him Pajama because he wears blue pajamas. Tony just calls him PJ for short. The nickname PJ gave me an instant flashback because I'm friends with a man named Howard, who's an actor and a producer. At one point in time, he bought the rights to a character, the legendary Dark Silhouette, and planned to create a movie based on my character. That project fell through, and now I control all the rights to my character. When Howard produced the movie, PJ, in 2008, he invited a couple from my paranormal group, HPI, and friends of me, to Los Angeles for a red carpet preview of the movie. We sat in the audience with many of the actors, got into a nice conversation about the movie with several of them. The flashback has passed over. Let's talk about the other PJ, a.k.a. Pajama. According to Tony, back in 1992, the house across from his house lived a family of six. Little boy was the son of the mother and father who lived in his house with their four children. The family was known to be oddballs in the neighborhood. It was rumored that they dabbled in dark arts. The father of the family was once seen in the early morning hours in his truck wearing a satanic type of robe by one of the neighbors. Tony says that the little boy was about 8 years old and used to throw rotten eggs at his home. The eggs came from the family's chickens. Tony says that there was something amiss with the little boy. Tony says that the whole family was odd, but the little boy was older. Sometimes he would see the little boy urinating in the front lawn with a maniacal smile on his face. Many times Tony had verbal disputes with the father of this oddball family. One night, the little boy walked out in the middle of the street to the early morning hours. The little boy was wearing his blue pajamas, and a neighbor teen boy driving his father's Jeep accidentally ran over the child, killing him instantly. The time of this accident was about 3:30 a.m., and no one could figure out why the little boy was in the middle of the street at this ungodly hour. There's plenty of courtroom drama, some physical altercations between the father of the oddball family and the father of the teen. that was driving the Jeep. Finally, both families moved out of the neighborhood, and the neighborhood is now peaceful again, except for the house. Tony says that he believes the Oddball family summoned a demon, and the demon takes on the guise of a little boy that once lived across the street. He believes the demon is attracted to the family because of their 7-year-old son. Tony's family has fallen ill at times with an unknown sickness that is like the flu. There are times that Pajama, as we call him, will knock on their door. Tony's dogs will go crazy and start barking. Tony will dart to the door, look through the peephole, and see PJ. Tony says at one time PJ told him to let me in. I'm thirsty. Tony would not let him in and started praying and reciting verses from the Bible. Tony's Christian has placed crosses all over his home. He also blesses his home with holy water. Says that PJ will stare right at him at times. His eyes are completely black and he can't see the white in the little boy's eyes. He told me that he told him there are similar cases like this and their experiences refer to the type of entities as black-eyed kids. Tony never heard of the black-eyed kids. He says that there are times that he can hear PJ on the roof of his house. He's even seen PJ crawling on the roof. He's called the police. When they arrive, PJ's gone. On another night that they saw PJ, they heard their cat screaming. When Tony and his family ran outside, the cat was hanging from the tree with a hangman's noose around the cat's neck. On another night, after seeing PJ peeking through the living room window, he went to the kitchen to get an adult beverage so he could forget about PJ. When Tony walked into the kitchen, he saw swarms of cockroaches coming out from every crevice in the walls, the outlets, the sink, the cabinets, refrigerator, etc. Tony's wife ran into the kitchen and turned on the main light, and the cockroaches vanished. Tony thinks this demon child placed this horrific image in his mind. Talking with Tony, I walked him through a Catholic house blessing and told him to get everyone in his family baptized. Full submersion in water type of baptism. Tony, the baptism is done at the local Baptist church. Many people do not realize that a full submersion in water baptism is a basic form of exorcism. The family, after doing everything I instructed them to do, has not been haunted by PJ. For now. If PJ decides to come back, I'll take a different course of action to rectify the problem. Case closed. For now.
There you go, just your average, everyday demonic haunting. It's kind of what we all have gone through at one point in our life.
Let's take care of a little business here. These guys have been supporting our show now on and off for the last couple of months. I love it. Robinhood is the name of the company. It's an investing app, website, whatever you want to call it. It lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Yeah. Now, just the idea in general to me was really intimidating because I'd never done that before, to be quite honest. And I didn't know a whole lot about it. But the wonderful thing about Robinhood is it takes all the intimidating feel of doing this and just wipes it away. It's a non-intimidating way for the stock market newcomers like myself and maybe you too to invest for the first time with confidence and commission free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's simple. It's intuitive. It's a really clear design presented with data that makes it very easy to understand what you're looking at. And I've been using it every day. I really do. Honestly, I love it. No cost, no commissions. Other brokerages, they charge up to $10 for every single trade. But Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees to trade stocks to keep all of your profits. That's a nice thing right there. You learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks, trade your favorite companies with a personalized news feed. It works so well. And they're going to give you a stock for free to try it. This is like getting free money. If you want to check it out for yourself, get yourself some free money. Go to realghost.robinhood.com. That's realghost.robinhood.com. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Realghost.robinhood.com. Get your free stock. And check it out for yourself. You may find that this is kind of a cool thing to get into in the new year. Realghost.robinhood.com. Claim your free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint and help build that portfolio. Realghost.robinhood.com.
You know what was weird for me on that one?
What?
Well, several things. But, you know, because I've talked about the haunted house we lived in as a kid, and I always thought that it was just this really old house that had a really bad bug problem. But I remember coming in at night when we'd been gone for the weekend to my grandma's house, and we came in and turned the lights on and having to wait for the bugs to move before we could walk in the house.
Yeah, that's not normal.
And I had never, like, when he said that, I was like, gross, but that happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, houses have bugs, but not, I mean, when you have that, that's kind of like something more.
Yeah, because they just covered the floor and my mom would be like, okay, kids, just wait a minute.
Oh, gosh.
But it was so gross. And then, but like, why isn't it like that every day?
Yeah.
Where they go? Like, it seems like it would be like that. Not like, for real, I never got up during the night and went to the kitchen. I don't think the entire 7 years we lived there, but because I just couldn't. But it wasn't like the bugs were in the rest of the house. It was just the kitchen. Yeah. Only the kitchen. So yeah, that kind of creeped me out. Sometimes though, I do think that, like, when they're describing the kid before the horrific accident mm-hmm. and calling him a demonic child, I do have to say, I think that kids who suffer horrible forms of abuse can appear to be demonic children because they've been so horrifically abused. Mm-hmm. And so I have to wonder if it was as much the child as it was the parents maybe abusing this kid.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. Yeah. I mean, if the dad's a Satan worshiper, the kid doesn't have a chance, right?
You have to wonder. I mean, because if you look at the aspect of, well, what if this child lived? And how would his demeanor be to the living if he was among the living? A lot of cases, it would be essentially what you'd consider, you know, crudely speaking, juvenile delinquent, as far as how he's acting towards people. And probably ending up in the system at some point for extreme aggressive behavior. And
because of the parents.
Because of the parents, yeah. I mean, and that's what you're going to get when that's your environment that you come out of in many cases. Maybe not every case. And certainly there are certainly, you know, there are percentages to this where a small percentage get out and that's not what you have. But that's not the norm. The farther percentage is going to be conditioning, and this is what you get out of the conditioning. And it's a sad story. And if they're alive, that's what you get. So you almost have to expect if they're coming back as a ghost, they're just basing their behavior on what they knew as a living person.
Right.
And
or it could be the demon coming back. Like,
yeah. You could have
disguised as this kid.
And that's a possibility, too. But I think sometimes, too, I think you're exactly right. It's just, you know, there's a little more, it's scary, obviously, it's a ghost, but it's one of those things where you can have an asshole adult ghost that comes back as an asshole in the ghost world. He goes, that's a demon. No, he was an asshole in life, too. But when it's a child, there's more innocence to it. There's more, they had no choice. This is the hand they were dealt. They didn't know any better. They never had a chance to correct the behavior. But if this is where it ended, this is where it ended, and this is what you get.
Mom and dad are Satan worshipers. I mean, really,
you never know. It usually
what's
doesn't end up
with
well.
This kid doesn't, it's not a bright, happy, cheerful future for him.
Doesn't, it's not usually like, oh, this is a great, you never see that box to check off when you're like filling out a form. It's like Satan worshipers. Oh yes, of course. That's the one I'm going to check right here. It's not usually an acceptable form of behavior for parents.
Yeah. Like the kid doesn't go on to get a degree in accounting.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, it's just sad.
Oh, they do. They just end up working for like Lehman Brothers or some like major corporation that just crashes the economy. It's like, fuck, what the hell? Why did we not look at this? Did we not see the Satan worshiper box checked? I mean, I think we knew this was going to crash the economy eventually. They checked the Satan worshiper box and we made them the CEO. What
it
the
was
fuck?
Probably the Satan worshiper kid who grew up to start subprime mortgages.
Why did we not see this coming? You know, it's just, it's one of those things you look on back retrospectively and go, oh, that was kind of coming right at us. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. All right, let us just hell, guys. I newly discovered this podcast, just got to say I love it. I'm writing in from McAllen, Texas. This happened back when I was 10 years old. We were staying at my grandparents' house. Whole family was there except for my uncle. My uncle, who's usually always late, hadn't arrived. My grandparents live in a small town in Nuevo London, Mexico. We waited for all the way till midnight, and then we decided to give in. We assumed he wouldn't be here until morning, so we all jumped to bed, and that was it. Around 2 or 3 a.m., we hear a loud bang on the door. Wake up and excitedly head to the door to greet my uncle. My grandma rushes to the kitchen to make him coffee and something to eat. We open the door and nobody is there. First, we thought he was pulling a prank on us. Then my grandma, who is in the kitchen, tells us why he's going around the house. I saw him pass through the window to the back of the house. My grandpa heads outside after him. I follow along with him. As we make our way around the house, we see something or someone walking. "Where are you going?" we call out to him. He keeps on walking like if he didn't hear us. Finally, he gets to the barbed wire fence where my grandparents' land ends and just vanishes after crossing that fence. My eyes widen and I ran back to the house, scared for my life. Property next to my uncle's is abandoned. Family who owned that property was involved in drug dealing. Husband and wife both killed inside the house. We find out later that the man who was supposed to be showing up at her house, my family member, had died the previous night. There you go. Happy breakfast.
Oh, that's coffee. A good one. Bad one, but Yeah.
Get the coffee going. It almost, I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but it almost sounds like the grandma almost kind of knew something had happened, but was kind of prepared for it in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre story, but one that I guess you'll never really be able to explain. There's so many interesting stories. I love cultures that are, it's interesting the writing of the stories that we get from cultures that are much more accepting of ghosts. We see a lot of that from Mexico. We see a lot of that from Netherlands. We see a lot of that from, I'm trying to think of some of the other areas.
Philippines.
Yes, that's the other one. Philippines is a big one. Even England, you see a lot of that in that in the UK areas. Ireland, US, we get a lot of good US stories too, but obviously US, we're the more skeptical end of things, although I think that is changing and evolving. But some of these other cultures have...
We're Americans, we want to debunk it first.
But the other cultures have been almost like they've already been through that phase. They went through the phase like 200 years ago, and now they're like, this is part of life. And so there's just a different level of storytelling where it's just kind of like, and this is what happened, and that's what happened. And it's not a like, what do you think? It's just a, here's facts, here's what we experienced, and that's it. And I like that because it gets right to the point and it just says, here's what we experienced. Take what you will out of it. And that's interesting to me.
And I think culturally, like some of those countries, it's kind of like lore. And so that you've grown up with that.
Sure.
And it's, that's just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. Here, that's not.
It isn't. It's more so these things happened. Do you believe me? Please believe me. Please believe me. And then you're begging for acceptance and very few people give it to you. And that's what I think.
Like we've talked before, people will say, I don't believe in ghosts, but you know what? This one time.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you a ghost story that happened to them.
It's funny because it's one of those topics. Everybody's like,
I don't believe in it, but well, it did happen to me.
Like, I'm afraid to talk about this, but you know what? It's one of the easiest topics I think I've ever. You throw it out there sometimes. Either you're going to get looked at like you're crazy, or it will be the best conversation you've ever had with a stranger. Like if you're in an airport and you're just sitting there at the bar and you're killing 2 hours in a layover and you're just kind of chatting. It's like, what do you do? And like, oh, I tell ghost stories for a living. You do what? And and sometimes you get like, okay, I'm going to go to the other side of the bar now because you worship Satan. It's like, no, I don't. But and then sometimes you get the, oh my gosh, I have a story. And you can really, it can introduce some of the most interesting conversations with strangers ever.
And what's great when that happens is you can whip out a recorder and that trip suddenly became a tax write-off.
I am carrying recorders with me everywhere I go from now on. Absolutely. Because there's so many places and we're planning on, we're beginning to plan a trip this summer and planning on doing actually a show in Milwaukee in June.
I love Milwaukee.
Yeah. And don't have the date quite set yet. No location quite set yet. I'm looking at a couple locations. There's one place I'd love to go to. It's called the Safe House. And it's been on a lot of Travel Channel shows and stuff. And I don't want to promote it too much because we haven't confirmed anything yet. But I think that'd be a neat location. If not, I'm looking at other stuff with their hospitality group for setting up a live show with me and Jenny on that one when we're up there. But so keep watching the website for the tour area. And as soon as we have that confirmed, tickets will be available when it's going to be going on. It'll be early June-ish. For the date on that one. And of course, I am looking, I'm just beginning the whole planning phase, looking at some dates over towards your neck of the woods where you and me can do a program.
Absolutely.
Together.
Yes,
in Wichita. And we'll probably find a date in Wichita at some point this summer and some other areas as well. So be watching the website at realghoststoriesonline.com with the tour area for those dates. As we get them kind of set, they will go up. And as the ticket availability is up, they'll be there. It's going to be really exclusive nights. We're talking like 80 to 100 people in a room and just basically us and ghost stories. And then at the end of the night, meet and greet. We hang out, we talk, and really one-on-one. I want everybody to have their time where we can just, you know, chat, where it's not like just so many people. So some fun stuff coming up in the next in this year, as we're in 2019. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hey, Tony, it's Eric again. I'm calling back to back. I have a couple of stories about my emotional support dog. In 2015, I did not have a dog, and I was in a very bad place in my life. And I was living in Atlanta with an aunt of mine, and I was walking by the Atlanta Zoo. And it's a neighborhood. I was going to meet up with someone. But I noticed this dog was running towards me from around the corner up the street, and he just trots right by me. I get a good look at him. He is brindle. He's beautiful. And as he passes me, my heart just goes out to him. I'm like, oh, this dog doesn't have a collar on. And I look back, and he's gone. He was just gone. He didn't round a corner. It just didn't really make sense. But I really felt like I had messed up because I really thought, oh, I could get that dog and take him home and give him a life. But at that point, I didn't really seem to have a life. I didn't feel like... In any case, 2 years later in 2017, on February 18th, I walked into a no-kill shelter, and that dog was in one of those kennels, and I immediately knew it was love at first sight. I guess love at second sight, but that was him, and he is still with me to this day. And we've lived in Anaheim Hills, California, and I remember one evening waking up, and I had two mattresses and my laundry basket at the end of my bed, and the mattresses were stacked, so the bed's kind of low to the ground. The laundry basket even is taller than where the bed sits. So I just opened my eyes, and my dog is standing with his hind legs on the bed and his front paws on the laundry basket hamper, and something, this red aura energy, is like petting him. And I wasn't scared, but I immediately knew, one, he's not supposed to be standing up like that, but something's got his attention. And it was kind of red and sparkly, like glitter, but as soon as I said his name, it faded away. And it was almost like my vision corrected, but my vision was already clear to see color and him enough. He's dark in a dark room with nothing but moonlight casting in. And I just called him over. I was like, get over here. You know, what are you doing? Getting pet by ghosts in the middle of the night, silly dog. And another weird thing that happened, my dog never barks. He only barks if you go up to pet him and I'm there. He's a rescue, so his mental capacity and emotional state is something I'm still trying to understand. I don't know what happened to him when he was younger, but he doesn't bark. And I was talking to a roommate in the kitchen, and he had gone upstairs and he barked twice, and no one was upstairs. Me and her were the only ones in the house, including him, and no one was upstairs. And it doesn't make any sense because he never does that. And rather than freak her out, I simply called his name, and I walked upstairs, and he was standing in the hallway looking in our room. I don't know. But I pray a blessing over him. I pray a blessing over me. I'm pretty big on that. I know spiritual warfare is real. So I'm actually going to be moving to a very remote place here soon that has a lot of history. And the person here is actually a historical figure that used to live in the home. And, oh, man, I put down a deposit. And I am a little freaked out by what I might experience besides the nature and maybe some snakes or something. If any ghost doesn't want me there, but I don't care. I've dealt with that stuff before. My roommate in North Hollywood, when I moved in, she said, did you meet the man in white? I said, the man in white? And she's like, yeah, he's like my little boyfriend, you know, he looks out for me. So there would be times I'm watching television in our two-bedroom apartment, shared bathroom, not a really big place, but spacious for two people. And I just felt someone behind me, like by the bathroom, and no one was there. And one day I'm sitting on the couch watching TV. I got a nice drink poured next to me on the coffee table, and she comes out of her room, and she mentions something about the man in white again, had I met him or something. And I said, no, but I know something's going on in here. Right when I say that, our attention gets directed to my drink on the coffee table as it slides and falls off the table. She looks at me, I look at her, and we're both like, whoa, and she just goes back into her room. Our neighbors had complained when I was home alone. One neighbor from directly beneath me comes upstairs, bang, bang, banging on the door, and I answer the door, and she's like, who is stomping? Who's going back and forth stomping? And I explained to her, nobody is up here stomping. I'm watching Netflix. I'm chilling. My dog is sitting right here. He's not even running around. She's like, it sounds like someone's walking all across the apartment, and you're the one right above me. And I said, I'm sorry, but we've been having some weird energy in this place. Besides that, when my roommate left to visit her family in Chicago, I had actually met a witch at a party, and I asked her, how would you deal with the spirit that is in your dwelling? And she explained that putting out a bowl of water with a light or candle next to it, it will allow the spirit to see its reflection and know that it doesn't belong here in this realm. So I did that, and I mixed that up with my own spiritual and religious practices and started praying and anointing the place with olive oil. And I believe that we as humans have power over demons, and we could even command them in the name of Jesus. And that's what I did. I told him, the man in white, that he had to go, and every spirit, negative force, I asked it to leave. I burnt sage. I walked around that apartment, and this was about a 30-minute process of prayer and casting out and disinviting and just establishing myself as a spiritually protected person. And when my roommate walked in, the first thing when she got back from her trip, she kind of walks around the apartment like she lost something or she was looking for something. And she said, did you get rid of the man in white? And I said, yeah, I did. And she was very visibly upset about that. Besides that, I've been hanging out with friends in Mulholland Highway near like Calabasas, Gora Hills, Sherman Oaks area. And we were all, it's a big mansion, so we were all in the master bedroom. No reason to be spread across the house. There was like tennis courts. It's a nice property, but older. Kind of reminds you of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house. And I go down this grand staircase to go to the kitchen, grab a beer, and I'm walking back up, and dum dum dum, three knocks on their frosted glass door. And I said, hey guys, someone's at your door. Nobody responded. I see the guy standing there. He's a Caucasian white male with a black shirt on. He's standing to the side with just the back of his wrist and knuckles kind of gently resting up against the door. So I go up to the door and I announce, hey guys, I'm going to open this door. I can see that there's a person directly on the other side of this frosted glass, but I can't see clearly because it's frosted. And I open the door and nobody's there. Nobody is there. Within that split second, even if it was just one full second, there's no way he could have ran around this large house either way. I'm a Lyft driver. I got a ride. So thanks, Tony. Love the show. I'll keep listening to you in between these rides. I don't want to freak my Lyft passengers out. All right. Stay blessed, brother.
That's a great Lyft driver right there. I'd love to have him as a driver around town. Some good stories there.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I love the dog thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dog person. But do you think that sometimes there's, like, because he was talking about when the dog came running up and then he saw the dog at the shelter, could have been the same dog. Mm-hmm. Do you think though sometimes, not necessarily a ghost or something, but more like a premonition that you're going to get that dog?
Yeah, almost like kind of, yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know if I'd call it premonition, but I get what you're saying. Somewhere, something along those lines.
Yeah, like, I don't know, because I think it's, I loved that. That was just very special to me. And then he ends up getting the dog, and yeah. I loved that.
It's just, it's right.
And I kind of want to hang out with this guy and drink some beer. I think he would be really, really, and his dog. I want his dog to come, and I'll bring Buddy. But I'd like to hang out with him.
I think if you're ever in California, he'd probably enjoy that.
The great thing is he'd come get me and give me a ride to wherever we're going to go drink beer.
Exactly. So, you know, honestly, what we're going to have happen here is after this airs, we're going to get an email going, I'd like to drink beer with her too. Here's my information. Because I've had that for other cities where we've talked about that. And it's like, okay, let's meet up. And we do. So, yeah, so expect that. You're going to get an invite when you're out there. And there you go. So it will likely take place. That's the neat thing about our program. You know, we have audiences all over the country, all over the world. And every once in a while, I get an email from somebody who's like coming into Branson or something, going, "Hey, you know what? I've been listening to your show, you know, since day one," and they'll reference something from back then. And I don't want to sound creepy or weird, but, you know, I listen to you literally every day of the week, and it's been a great, you know, help for me, and I enjoy it. Is it too weird to ask you, would you like to go out for a drink, you and your wife or whatever, or just hang out for a cup of coffee? I just love to just chat for a little bit. And we've done it a couple times, and it's been really nice. We've met some really nice people who have been listeners to our program. And I just, you know, I kind of let my guard down a little bit, but there's we have a great audience. This is one of the most unique things I didn't expect to find when we're doing podcasting. It's such a broad audience, but you know, what's neat about it is people are here because they're here for a reason. They're not here because it's like the only radio station on the dial of a format. It's like they choose it, and that's awesome. And so it's a dedication. It's a commitment, and it's a commitment on both sides where it's like, look, we're making this here. You're listening to it over there. We're here for each other. And it's one of the most unique radio experiences I've had. It reminds me tremendously of my early days in radio in the mid 90s, where there was more of a loyalty on radio. And it takes me back. And even prior to that in radio, there was even more loyalty, I know, but I kind of got into it towards the end of that stuff. But it's awesome, and I absolutely love it. And I fully intend on doing podcasting basically until I can't speak. So it's like I'll be doing this till I'm dead. That's kind of my goal. I always wanted to be on the air till I was dead, and I think this is probably going to outlast me, this form of radio. And it's just, there was AM, there was FM. I think podcasting is the new version of what FM was for the last 30, 40 years.
Well, and it's so fun because there's so many podcasts. You can really find your niche and what you're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, there's a community out there for everybody.
There is. It baffles me because I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I would play radio station in my bedroom. And I would sit there and I would talk. I would be the callers too. I would make requests. I would do the fake phone call, and I'd be the DJ at the same time, back and forth. It was kind of scary. And I would just sit there and I would do that from the age of about 3 to 14, and then from 14 on up to about 30, I was in a commercial radio station, and then I did this. So it's like I've been literally doing this for about 32 years. So now, you know, from playing radio station to doing the real thing. But it's funny because it's come full circle. I'm back in a bedroom of my house playing radio station. But except there's actually people that are listening to it. It's not just the cat.
And you're still playing radio.
I'm playing radio station is how I really feel about it. But there's real people that are listening, not just the cat. So, yeah, it's good times. But
well, my cat's listening right now.
Your cat is listening.
Makes you feel any better?
That is true. As we do the show live, my dog is sitting on the couch or on the chair over here listening, and your two pets. So essentially, when we do this live, we have three animals that are our audience, and then it goes live several weeks later. But it's fun. Anyway.
Yes. Listen to the. Was it the episode this week that my cat knocked the everything off of the desk?
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday's.
Real life.
Yep, it is. It's like live radio. I just run the tape when we do our show. I don't edit our programs when we do this because I love the live aspect of it, and it gives it its own unique feel. So anyway, that'll wrap up today's episode of the program. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in and supporting the show. We cannot do this thing without you. If you like the show, become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Make that your New Year's resolution. Above everything else, above weight loss, above being a better person, above caring for your family more, above cutting back on alcohol, above anything that you may have that may be a healthier choice, screw that. Become an EPP. Ghostpodcast.com. Sign up and keep our program. I'm kidding, of course. But ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month. Keep us on the air. And enjoy all the bonus episodes, the EPP episodes. If you've not listened to them in a while, 10-minute previews every single week. You get to see how new they are and how different those episodes feel. I love producing them. It takes a good deal of time, but they are fun. Ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. And as we go to 2019. Wow. All right. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.